This is PCMC, Pop Culture Man Children. It is the final episode in our salute. Halloween. Boy, it's been in October.
Woof.
We got kicked out of a Spirit Halloween.
Yes, we did.
I talked Ghostbusters with
yes,
a friend.
Yes, you did. We did a photo shoot in Party City.
Yes. We saw in Party City the highest security guard I've ever seen in my life.
Talked a little Scoob.
We talked a little Scoob. The content here is it's just a never-ending stream of Halloween-y goodness. And this is episode 52, our 1 year anniversary.
Really?
Yes. Almost didn't get there.
Yeah.
Almost didn't get there. We had probably in the 10 years of knowing you, the biggest argument we've ever had today.
Is it 10 years? I thought it was a little more than that.
10. Well, yeah, it's 2018, right? Well, yeah, probably like 12, 13 years.
I met you in 2001, dude.
What?
Yeah.
2001, really?
Yeah, I don't remember. Class together. We had a remedial class
together. We had a class together?
Yeah.
Secret Oranges. I don't remember having
I remember
a class
that.
With you. I always just thought I knew you through your cousin.
No, we had a class together.
What class was it?
It was a remedial class because I remember because you were wearing a Beastie Boys
yep.
blue t-shirt.
Yep. No, say no more. That was that was my uniform. Absolutely. That shirt was like 30 years old at that time. It's gone now. It literally, it pulled the fucking, Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good. And it turned to dust. Anyway, we had the biggest fight we've ever had today.
In our 18 years of friendship.
In our 18 years of friendship. Well, I think my problem is I've been annoyed with you. And instead of, I'm not very confrontational. So instead of telling somebody when they're pissing me off, I just keep it inside until I explode and then get angry. So that's what happened.
Well, your transgressions throughout the day triggered you off today.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Right.
I'll allow it.
But you were also, you've been stressed with other stuff going on in your life.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Yeah, I am an angry fucking man.
That's I could see that.
I am an angry fucking man.
Yeah.
And you not at you. Yeah. My anger was not towards you at all.
Yes.
Like, let's let the babies in on that now. I don't want them to think mommy and daddy are fighting.
No. But you've got other stuff going on, and I was pissed because you were unavailable. Like, I would text you, you wouldn't text me back. And
I
was starting to
think, text you.
Yeah.
It would be hours later.
Right. And I was starting to think, okay, he's not into it anymore. What do I do? So I was like, today I said to you, I was like, listen, if you want to walk away, like, maybe that's what you want. Because I really, for a second, thought you were going to go, thank God, bro. Thank you for letting me out. I love you. Bye.
No.
But you were pissed. Yeah. And I was like, then I felt bad. And I was like, well, maybe I should have said something ahead of time.
Yeah, I'm genuinely enjoy this because it's not the typical structure and arc that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, it's, you know, there is a organicness to all the other projects and all the other endeavors that I do, but they're very controlled. Here, it's a little bit less controlled, which I like, and it kind of resets the button.
But this is where you and I have our problems, because I want it to be controlled, and you won't allow me to control it.
I think in the 52 episodes, I think I've been a damn good friend and a damn good partner and an amazing co-host.
You have. If you could just text me back.
That you could
be
just
on
do,
time to things.
Well, I would say do whatever the fuck you want to do. You want to go talk about Gravity Falls? Do it. You want to have Mike Fischetti on and talk Jurassic Park or all things Christopher fucking Lloyd or whatever it is that you guys want to talk about. Hey, man, it's your bag.
Yeah.
Like, cut her up. Creative control, you got it. The only thing that I do is a little snippety snip on the editing floor.
No, but you're here. You're on Mike Talent.
I am. But
yeah,
this is why I come in. I don't need to prep. Like, we watch a ton of stuff.
Well, you don't have to prep.
Well,
all you have to do is let me know that your phone isn't dead.
See, okay, let's fill the people in on something. So I have a third part-time job. So now this job is very lengthy. Takes a couple hours to do.
Yes.
When last week, for instance, we spoke, you got up. I guess you were getting up to start your day at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right. And I get that I get up earlier than you. I get that.
I was working at 4 o'clock in the morning. So okay. That's why I was able to text you back
right.
promptly. Because I was working.
Yeah.
But then once it got really busy, I was like, all right, I got to put the phone away. And I got to do what I got to do because there's a deadline. I text you around 8, 9. That's when I got out of work, like 9:30 in the morning. So that's why we were able to talk that consistently.
Right, but there are times where
I won't, and I know this.
Yeah, right.
But you're not the only one that tells me this. Well, it's everybody.
Well, then we've got a problem that needs fixing.
Something that I have to work on.
Because I tell you how – I don't know how your other people read it. But the way I read it is I'm out here alone. This kid's not into it. I got to harangue him. I got to poke him. Hey, you want to record? I know we said we were going to record, blah, 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 blah. Now, I know you're a man of your word, but all I want is like a confirmation. You know what I mean? Like we say we're going to do this like the day before. I'd be like, hey, by the way, we're doing that tomorrow. And if you don't text me back, I'm like, all right. He either forgot or
I just forget to
text
you back.
His phone is dead.
I just forget to text you back. It's right, not right. me that I'm like, oh, I got to curve him like he's one of my girlfriends.
Well, that's what I feel like. I feel like we hooked up once. We had a nice date. We had a good time. You took me out to a lobster dinner. And then I'm thinking, whoa, what's Emilio thinking? And I send the text. And then 10 minutes goes by and I'm working, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, I'm sitting here watching fucking Halloween cartoons, doing work. Let me text him again. And then I'm like, is this kid just fucking ignoring me?
Like, what did I do? Was I not a good conversation? Was I not a pretty date? Listen, I get all this. I understand that. But
this is the problem. This is the problem. And I should have said something earlier, but I have a problem. You know what I mean? We're friends. Neither of us gets paid for this. What am I going to do? Yell at you? You know what I mean? Like, what do you say?
The assumption is what chapped my hide a bit. I'm trying to not get riled up. The aggravating part for me was the assumption that, one, I do not care. Two, like, oh, you don't give a shit because you already got one that is a brand and that's already established. You don't care about just starting this one up. So I'm sitting here getting ready to do what I have to do for the day. And I'm like, really? Really? Is this the aura and the vibe that I give off? That I'm just this nonchalant, devil may care, live by the seat of his pants, Jenna Elfman type?
I mean,
Dahmer and Gregish?
Sometimes, you know, you do the editing of the show and you do a great job with it. That's like your domain. You do it perfectly. But then outside of that, you're unavailable. You're like an unavailable lover. Sometimes when I'm trying to talk to you, it's like whistling in the wind, brother.
I'm here, but I'm not.
Yeah.
So, you're not the first one to tell me this. A few people.
So look, I'm stressed. You're stressed. But in general, it's been a year.
Yes.
How do you feel about this year?
This has been creatively between PCMC and WrestleRap. It's the best year of my life professionally.
Uh-huh.
Because I was so creatively stifled for where I work.
Mm.
And I got held down. And this is the God's honest truth, where I had no confidence in my abilities of who I was as a host, as a producer, and just an overall performer. I was so creatively stifled to the point where I didn't want to fucking do anything. And then I get with you.
Mm-hmm.
I got with my former co-host Kazim Famuidi on WrestleRap.
Mm-hmm.
And I threw my hands in the wind and I said, fuck it. If the powers that be don't realize that they got a Mona Lisa hanging in the garage, I'm going to go off and just do whatever I want to do. And you know what? I find solace in recording this program with you in my bedroom and going downstairs and recording pro wrestling, looking at an Elvis cookie jar, talking to my friends on FaceTime. I'm not even going to talk about the hours that I spend editing. We'll just talk about 52 episodes here, 72 episodes there. It's been over 200 hours of audio, maybe a little bit more. If I was to do the math and add up every single episode,
yeah,
it would probably be over maybe 500 hours of audio. But that's between both shows.
This is the stress.
No, this is the escape from everything else. The escape from everything else.
Okay.
This is natural. This is second nature.
I think part of our problem was that we were both giving 100% in the thing we were doing, but not totally aware of what the other was doing.
Yes.
Not aware of my stress writing the show, me not aware of your stress producing and editing it. I gotta say, the last year has been fantastic. It's been a lot of work. Of all the creative things I've done in my life, I've tried stand-up, I've written, I tried, you know, criticism and blah, blah, blah. I've had websites. This has been the most fruitful. And this has been the one I enjoy the most. I enjoy coming here. I enjoy doing this. I enjoy putting it out to the people. I enjoy when I see somebody who's like, yeah, I saw it and I liked it and I thought this. And genuinely, it's been a great year, I think.
Yeah, I dig it.
Thank you, Emilio.
Thank you, Michael.
It's been a wonderful year.
And thank you, listener.
Right. We are going to keep going, though. This sounds like we're dying, but we're not.
No,
we are going to keep going. So normally we would do the news, but I wanted to give you a little inside peek on how things work over here. And then we do Trailer Corner. But today we're going to do Trailer Coroner. Do you get it? Because a coroner deals with dead bodies and it's Halloween spooky.
I got it.
The first trailer we looked at, it was a classic trailer from the motion picture Psycho. You've heard of it.
I was just on.
Directed by Mr. Alfred Hitchcock, released in 1960.
I don't even consider it his best film.
Really?
Yeah.
What's his best film?
In my opinion?
Yeah.
North by Northwest.
By today's standards, we would almost call that like an action movie.
Yeah.
It's a damn good crowd pleaser, but I think Psycho is
really
perfect. Yeah.
Even Vertigo I like better than Psycho.
I mean, I haven't seen Vertigo in like 20 years. I never quite understood the Vertigo love. I think Rear Window.
That's a good one too.
Is really good.
I just think it's Jimmy Stewart.
Well, what did you think of the trailer? Because the trailer, you know, a lot of old trailers are nothing like new trailers. New trailers are slick and cut very pristinely, and it's like boom, 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 boom this summer. And this was, it was Alfred Hitchcock himself in the trailer, because he was already a TV star, so people knew him. It was himself in the trailer. Basically, the trailer is Alfred Hitchcock giving you a tour of the set, but he's walking around really playing it up, and he goes by like the murder scene, and he goes, what happened here? I can't even tell you what happened.
Yeah.
I don't even want to get it. It was too ghastly. It's too horrible. I think the movie is a lot about repression. I think Norman Bates just needs to like snap one off, and then he'd be a much calmer person. That's why I didn't like the new remake where Norman Bates jerks off. Did you see the remake with Vince Vaughn?
No.
They make him jerk off. Well, you know, there's a scene where he's looking at her through the peephole. In the new one, they add the sound effect, frap, 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 frap. And beyond that being gross, I always felt like, no, he's not doing that. He's getting excited seeing her, and then when he gets super horny, he goes and kills her. But if he's fapping, to me, that's not it.
Yeah.
But anyway, the repression, I felt like that repression's in the trailer.
It is.
Because it's a guy walking up to things going, oh, something happened here, but I can't tell you. And, you know, what
a lot of suspense, a lot of innuendo.
Yes.
A bit comedic.
Yes. For a movie that's scary, he's being funny.
Which, if you're looking at trailers themselves, specifically in that time,
yeah,
I don't think you were getting anything like that.
No.
And it's smart because you're really not giving away the plot to the movie. The evolution of trailers, and you know, we have one from 1960, 1935, and 1972.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, those are what was chosen today. And each one of them is completely different. Completely yeah. different. This one, it wasn't that it was silly, but it kind of was like, hey, I'm going to poke fun at something that I'm doing, but I'm also going to give nothing away, and you're going to want to know why.
Right.
Why do I need to go see Psycho?
It's almost a perfect teaser. We use the term teaser now for the first trailer that comes out. We call that a teaser, and then we have a longer trailer that has more of narrative in it. It's almost a perfect teaser in that it's like he's really teasing you.
Yeah.
Hitchcock was famous because he had a TV show that he hosted, kind of like The Twilight Zone. So people knew him. People knew him from talk shows. People knew his voice.
He was a celebrity.
Right, he was a celebrity. But one of the things that made that movie scandalous, besides the murder, is that there's a toilet. And we see the toilet flush, and she flushes something down the toilet. That alone, people are like, what the fuck's that? What is this? A toilet? The scene where Norman Bates is looking through the peephole. In the movie, the peephole is behind a painting of a bird. And in the trailer, he goes, this painting is very significant. And I can't tell you why. Right.
There was a lot of context clue.
Yeah, it's really interesting to go back and look at it after you've seen the film. He's not fucking around. Like, he really is pointing out things that will be important, but he's not telling you anything about them.
And he's doing it in a joshing manner. Like, yeah, you know, right. that thing over there, you're kind of going to want to pay attention to that.
Right. You think, oh, what's it? Okay, it's a picture of a bird. What does that mean? Is it symbolic? And it's like, no, actually, behind the picture is a peephole that the killer is going to look at her in her bra in.
Yeah, he's a fucking creep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he will most likely feel some type of guilt and or sexual repression.
And then go put on mother's clothes.
And then kill her.
And then kill her.
Yeah.
So the second trailer we looked at from 1935, The Bride of Frankenstein. So The Bride of Frankenstein is the sequel to Frankenstein, but it's much better than Frankenstein. And it was directed by James Whale. And part one was so successful, they kind of let him do whatever he wanted with part two. And he was like, cool, I'm going to make it like funny in weird ways. I'm going to add crazy effects. I'm going to have this very queer-coded character, Dr. Petraeus, who's like, he's another mad scientist who's kind of like Dr. Frankenstein's like ex-boyfriend or something. And he goes like on a date with the mom. It's very weird movie. You know, the trailer is a typical trailer of that time. One of the big things you saw at that time, especially with movies like Frankenstein, is like adjectives like thrilling, shocking, you know, stuff like that.
If you have a weak heart, leave now.
Right, right, right. Frankenstein returns in search of the bride. The uncanny call-off as the Frankenstein monster.
It's amazing how they used to do advertising for these movies back then.
Yeah, I mean, they show you so much. But it's interesting because it really is like a pitch, like the way they'd sell soap. Now they show a trailer, and it's almost itself like a little movie, like a little work of art that represents a bigger movie.
These were just sales pitches.
Yeah, these were like, hey, you like this star? She's going to be in it. Oh, my God. Bugsby Berkeley is involved. It has 1,000 dancers.
The Uncanny Karloff.
Yeah, and you're like, I like the Uncanny Karloff. And Karloff is...
he's the monster.
Yeah, and this was it. He did one and two, and then he was done.
He's done.
He didn't want to do it anymore. He's not in Abbott and Costello Meets Frankenstein.
No, he's not.
That was Glenn Strange.
Yes, it was.
It's just weirder. The best scene in the movie, for me, there's a scene where, like, the monster comes in, and Dr. Petraeus is there, and he's, like, smoking a cigar, and, like, they're, like, in a crypt, and he, like, puts out some, like, food and cheese, and it's like, is he having a date with the monster right now? It's so weird. There's also, like, telephone wires, and it's like, wait, what time is this supposed to be? It's like both the past and the present. It makes no sense.
Oh, there was also the duality of man.
Yeah.
Where I think the monster finally realizes, we're not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to be living this life.
We belong dead. You know, I just recently heard that the original ending was the monster and the bride were going to kill all the humans, and then they were going to peace out together. And then they're like, no, we can't kill the humans.
Yeah.
So they just made it so basically Dr. Frankenstein, Victor Frankenstein, and Elizabeth, his wife, get out, but Dr. Petraeus dies and both monsters die.
All the evil
dies, yeah. Yeah. But that's a much cooler ending. The monster kills all the humans and is like, no, fuck you.
Fuck you. Before I kill, make me prosthetic dick. Erect, no, please.
No, he probably could get erect.
I don't know
how the blood flow is with Frankenstein. I mean,
I don't even think he has blood in his body.
No, I think he does. I think lightning, if I'm to understand the science correctly, he's a bunch of body parts put together to make one person,
mm-hmm.
and then lightning reanimates him, kind of like a defibrillator, and then I think he's just running like we would run, although he's dumb. Yeah, like, but I think he needs to eat and sleep. No, I don't think he's a zombie. I think he's a marvel of modern medicine.
You think so?
Yeah. Because he eats, right?
Because then in several other movies, he eats, right? What is he eating? What is he, vegan and doing CrossFit to stay alive?
I mean he eats correct. I don't mean he eats clean. Oh. I don't mean like he's like, I meal prep. And he takes out like a nice piece of chicken and some nice steamed rice. And he's like,
Kale.
Meal prep every Sunday for a week.
Must snatch and clean. Need kettlebells.
I come for machine. Same guy on machine for 20 minutes.
Rack your weights, bro.
I Frankenstein. I don't grunt so much. Stop grunting.
Wipe down machine after you use.
And then he fucking pulls the clean wipes off the wall and he just fucking crumbles them and throws it at the guy. All right, so the third trailer in Trailer Coroner was for Last House on the Left. A movie I don't really like very much, but the trailer is sort of famous for its catchphrase, which is, it's only a movie.
Yeah.
It's only a movie.
See, this trailer, to me, gave me the impression of how modern movie trailers are.
Yeah.
Even though it's still in the 70s and they did not master doing a mini movie within a big movie.
Yeah.
But it was still a throwback to that Karloffian
right
idea. Like, it's like a, if you're dazzled by this, you'll be astonished by that.
Right. I think part of their model is like almost like scaring you, like this movie will hurt you, because people were scandalized by it. I actually think the movie's quite boring.
I never seen the movie, but again, I'm not a horror guy.
It's the first Wes Craven movie. It's based on Virgin Springs. Two kids go to like a concert. They meet up with a gang of killers. Those killers kill those young people brutally. And then the killers are like lost, or they were looking for some place to stay. They just so happen to come upon the family of the girls that they murdered. So they're getting hospitality from these people. But then the people realize, oh my God, these people in our house killed our kids. And then in revenge, the parents brutally murder the murderers. So it's just all sick murder, you know.
Yeah, I'm good. I'll pass.
It was shocking content, but it's not very good. There's like two dumb cops in it that are like Bulk and Skull. And it, like literally there's like silly music on the screen when they're there. And it's like, this is one of the best horror movies ever. This is nonsense.
But the trailer was...
It's a cool trailer.
It is. It's indicative of where they would take modern trailers in like the next 20 years.
Yeah, like Show Don't Tell.
Yeah.
For those old Universal movies, even though there's so much to show,
there's a lot to tell.
There's so... It's like, I see Karloff. You don't have to tell me he's there. I'm looking at him. I've seen the first Frankenstein. It's like weird, like... You know what I think it really is? I think it's a holdover from radio. You know, they're used
to
talking things up rather than just, like, letting it go.
Well, talkies became the thing when?
1927 is the first feature-length talkie, the jazz singer.
And then by 1934...
Right. You had a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the notion of radio was like, we have to describe everything.
Right, right, right.
So let us describe what's on the screen to sell the people.
Right, right.
But the other trailer is more Show, Don't Tell.
If there's one nice thing I could say about that movie is that because Wes Craven so didn't know what he was doing, and it's so like just made on a shoestring budget by a nobody, it has a sort of rawness and realness just from that, because he doesn't even know how to use the camera. He doesn't know where to put the camera.
Yeah.
None of the people performing in the movie are good actors by any stretch of the imagination. So it almost feels like a documentary. You know, the camera shaking and stuff.
I want to know, did Rob Zombie sample the music?
The answer to that's going to be yes, no matter what you're asking.
Never mind then, because I just want to know if he sampled something from this trailer or the music from this movie, The Last House on the Left, for Living Dead Girl.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, Living Dead. Yeah, you know, Rob Zombie's obsessed with horror movies. Yeah. He's made a few himself.
Can I just bring up the album Hellbelly Deluxe?
Dragulis from The Munsters.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that you even knew that song even existed.
Yeah. I remember the
Dig through the ditches and burn through the witches.
Oh, yeah.
Slam in the back of my dragon.
Did you ever hear from House of a Thousand Corpses soundtrack? He did a cover of Brick House.
No.
And I think he got What's-His-Face to sing on it. Who sang Brick House? Was Lionel Richie?
Yeah.
So he did Brick House, and he did it, and then he showed it to Lionel Richie. And Lionel Richie was like, you know what's missing? The, ow. And he was like, well, why don't you just do it? And so Lionel Richie's on it. I've never heard of this.
You have
to hear Rob Zombie's Brick House. It's fucking ridiculous.
All right.
All right, let's take a break. You can listen to Rob Zombie's Brick House. Here's a brick house. She left the mat here. Just letting it all hung out.
This is how the story goes.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Mantra. This is our salute. To Halloween. It's been a crazy month. It's been a crazy year. Thanks for being here with us.
We appreciate you. 52 episodes. Consistency.
We're a pop culture show. We talk about the news. We talk about new trailers. We talk about new episodes of shows. This isn't Welcome to Night Vale. This isn't a narrative. We are hitting what is happening right now.
We don't get personal.
No.
Maybe today was the most personal ever.
Well, we wanted to peel back the curtain.
Yes.
To see how this whole fucking shebang works. So it's the chill sesh. By my suggestion, we both watched the film Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Very misleading title, though.
Why do you say that?
Because Frankenstein is literally in this movie a whole five times.
Glenn Strange is Frankenstein.
The whole movie should have been Abbott and Costello kind of sort of run into Frankenstein, get scared by Dracula,
yeah,
and get chased and harassed,
yeah,
by the Wolfman.
The weird thing,
Lawrence Talbot.
Oh, I love him. The weird thing about it is it's like the Avengers Infinity War for Universal Monsters, but with two comedians in it. Because the only, you know, there was the Dracula films that went on too long, and then there was the Frankenstein films that went on too long, Wolfman films, there's tons of them. And kind of like Marvel, they started appearing in other ones, like there was Wolfman Meets Frankenstein, which I actually thought was a cool movie. There was, I think, House of Frankenstein is a Frankenstein movie, but the Wolfman's just in it.
They started to have them...
But this is the first one where it's all them together. And you said it's a bad title. It should be Abner Costello Meet All of Universal.
Yeah.
But actually, the original title was Brain of Frankenstein. Because the idea is they're going to take...
Which would have worked, because they would have took...
Lou Costello's brain
and put it into Frankenstein.
Right. The gimmick is, in the beginning, we find that Lou Costello, the short, fat, funny one, he's got this beautiful girlfriend who loves him and takes care of him, and he hurts his head, and she's like, oh, your precious head. Your precious head.
Let me kiss it, darling.
And he thinks he's, he's like on cloud nine. He thinks he's like, you know, very lucky. And Bud Abbott, the straight man bully, can't believe that his friend is dating such a beautiful girl. But wouldn't you know it, the girl is actually a mad scientist working with Count Dracula.
I would have never saw that coming.
To steal... She was looking for a dum-dum. So she was going to steal Lou Costello's brain to put in the monster.
3 seconds into the film, I go, ooh, something's not right here.
Right. It's a definite setup. Which, by the way, the monster's already walking around doing stuff, so I don't know why he needs... The plot makes zero sense. What business does Dracula have bringing Frankenstein back? Since when does Dracula have projects? Like, you're Dracula. Like, what do you... Since when are you taking over for Victor Frankenstein? What do you care about the monster?
I want to know how
you're more powerful than Frankenstein is.
I want to know how he even came across getting the body.
I don't know.
And it was lying dormant?
Yeah.
And he had this weird little electrocharge thing for the bolts on the neck?
Yeah. Dracula... Well, first of all, they're both... Like, owned by MacDougall, who runs a wax museum.
How did he get them?
I don't know. He bought them from Transylvania and had them shipped because Abbott and Costello work in shipping.
Of course they do.
They're like UPS guys or something. So they bring it to MacDougall's House of Horrors. And then probably the funniest set piece is Lou Costello's there, scared in the dark, reading about Dracula, and Bud Abbott's outside.
That's the best scene in the whole movie.
Right, and as he's reading, Dracula's coming up slowly from his coffin, and then he freaks out and says, "Oh, chick!" Oh, because even though that it's Abbott and Costello and Frankenstein, they have character names.
It's always character names.
Yeah. Their names are Wilbur and Chick, instead of Abbott and Costello.
That's the best scene in the whole...
It's the best...
The timing... Of Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Yeah.
And the play with Bela Lugosi.
Yeah.
It was so good. Like, they had to rehearse this.
Yeah.
For weeks.
Yeah.
Because it was so fluid in the way, even when they were both there opening up the crate that would be Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Where the sarcophagus would open and close and we'd hear that creaking sound.
Yeah.
And the way... Lou Costello would flip out knowing that it's not him, and Bud Abbott's like, "Yeah, I just heard you open up the package, dum-dum."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and he played the brilliant straight man who didn't believe none of this until it was far too late.
Right, right, right. Yeah, it takes way too long for Bud Abbott to be on board of what's happening.
Way too long to put it all together.
Yeah, because there's another funny scene later on where they're in Dracula's castle. There's a party at Dracula's Island.
There's a masquerade.
I have no idea where it takes place. And of course they're in the basement looking for clues. And Bud Abbott's like, "See, there's nothing here." And while he's doing that, behind him, Lou Costello leans on something and a trap door flips open. And then he's in this cave with Dracula and Frankenstein, and he's freaking out. And then he falls on the fucking wall again, and he goes by. And Bud Abbott's like, "See, there's nothing there." And he's like,
"That is a great scene."
Yeah.
But it was a lot of with the physical comedy when Lou Costello would put his coat over his face and make the Dracula eyes.
He looked like this. And the other one, he walked like this.
And then he would do this thing with his hand.
Yeah, yeah. They were great. They were vaudevillians, of course. They hated each other.
See what happens when you got good chemistry?
You end up hating each other. Lou Costello, you probably know this. Lou Costello paid for Dean Martin's nose job.
I didn't know that.
Fucking Dean Martin had a big, like, kind of schnoz.
The typical Italian schnozzle?
Yeah, remember, we're Italian, folks. Don't write in. And just so people were beginning to pick up a pen. he's in a club, and Lou Costello's already famous, and he sees him there. And this is when he was Dino Martinelli or whatever the fuck his name was. And Lou Costello's like, "Okay, you're great. You've got a beautiful voice. Change your name and fix your nose. I'll pay for it. And he paid. He didn't even know him, but he paid for his nose job.
Because he knew. When the moon hits your eye.
He knew it.
Like a big pizza pie.
Yeah. That's amore. And he was, you know, of course, just like with Laurel and Hardy, Lou Costello's the dumb one on screen, but he was sort of the mastermind behind things. He was more – and by the way, he didn't want to do this movie at all. He was like – he read the script, and he went into the producer's office and said, "My fucking four-year-old could write a better script than this." He hated the script.
How do you know this stuff?
I don't.
You just make this shit up as you go along.
I know a lot about the history of Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. Because this was – I was – all right, this is going to make me sound very old. But back in the 1990s, before the DVD revolution, I had quite a handsome collection of VHSs. And Universal put out a whole Universal Monsters VHS sort of like set and a bunch of the Abner Costellos. Like there's there's Buck Privates, which is them in the army.
That's the this film, Abner Costello Meets Frankenstein, and Buck Privates are the only two I've ever watched.
Buck Privates is great because it's got
the Andrew Sisters.
The Andrew Sisters, and they sing Boogie Boogie fucking Bugle Boy of Company B. Hold That Ghost. The success of Hold That Ghost is what led to the Frankenstein one, because Hold That Ghost was a horror comedy. Basic plot, Abbott and Costello, they come into inheritance of a haunted house, but don't you know it, they can't get the money unless they spend one night in the house, and scary stuff happens. So, yeah, so... you know, it's all sort of set pieces. It's all kind of comedy set pieces. You know, another fun set piece is the Wolfman, played by Lon Chaney, who he
becomes the superhero,
and he's in a different movie. He does not know he's in a comedy at all. He's doing that. He was always great. I always loved his performance as the Wolfman because he was such a real life drunk that you can see the pathos in his eyes of, oh, what did I do last night? I did it again.
And I like that they made reference to him tying it on and having a bender one night.
Yeah.
He's like, I was a Wolfman. And then New Costello goes, it's okay. I get like that too sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, he must have had a real party. Yeah, because they come in and all the furniture's like
destroyed.
Yeah, so there's a funny bit where he's like, he says to Lou Costello, listen, because they both have hotels rooms next to each other. Why don't they live in that city? Makes no sense. But anyway, he's like, take my hotel key and lock me in from the outside. I got to make sure I don't come out because there's a full moon. So Lou Costello locks him in, and then the full moon happens. He transforms into the Wolfman, and then Lou Costello...
Ah, you're forgetting he was in the room when he transformed.
Oh, right, he's in the room.
And he took a piece of fruit.
Right, he takes a piece of fruit, and just as he's walking out, the Wolfman lunges at him and misses him as he closes the door and locks it. But then...
Again, great timing.
Right. Lou Costello looks at the fruit, and he's like, he might have counted these. So he goes back in like he's going to open the door, and the Wolfman like hears him and is like getting ready to attack, and then he's like, but maybe he didn't. I don't know. And it's, you know...
I'm going to eat the fruit anyway.
Right. And then he ends up going to his room and eating the fruit. By the way, in the movie, the Wolfman turns into the Wolfman three nights in a row.
Yes.
This is not possible. You can only have a full moon once a month. But in this, I mean, I know this is the worst hill to die on with a movie about Dracula bringing back Frankenstein. But the science is all off here. You can't have three full moons in a row.
Well, maybe he was channeling his David Banner.
No, I don't think so.
When the Hulk would get angry.
He didn't like being the Wolfman at all. In one of the later films, he gets an operation to not be the Wolfman anymore. Actually, no. It took place before this movie, but they just scrapped out continuity. He gets an operation to not be the Wolfman anymore.
Did you know that he also had to play the Frankenstein character in one scene because Glenn Strange fractured his ankle?
Right, yeah. I think the scene where... Frankenstein picks up the doctor and throws her out the window.
Yep.
Yeah. Glenn Strange, who had been like kind of a cowboy actor, and oddly enough, they wanted Glenn Strange for I think they wanted him for Frankenstein originally before Karloff, something like that. Bela Lugosi's back. And by the way, that's only the second time Bela Lugosi played Dracula.
Yeah, he played some sort of vampire in a cape.
Yeah, he milked it for a long time.
With similar intellectual properties, but he was never called Dracula.
Right.
This is where he was called Dracula. And can we talk about the scene where he bites the neck of the woman?
Yeah.
Like, look into my eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Your will is strong, but not as strong as mine.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, well, wait a minute, buddy. Maybe her will is fucking strong.
Yeah.
But no, she falls into your male gaze.
But exactly.
And she bite the neck. She becomes the undead.
Yeah. By the way, in that scene, he's standing in front of a mirror and you could see his reflection.
Yeah.
Which is a big gaffe.
Well.
But yeah, well, that's all Dracula was. You know, Dracula was like, we think of it as a horror movie, but when it came out, it was like a gothic romance. And like, it's supposed to be like sexy. You know what I mean? Like, it's all like... I'm going to hypnotize you and bite your neck and I'm aristocratic.
Look at my eyes.
Yeah. I mean, he's... By all means, the movie should be god-awful.
It's not, though.
But it's not. It's not. It works. All of the pieces work together.
What about the ending? What did you think of the ending?
You mean the very, very ending? The
very, very ending.
Well, you know who that was.
Yes, yes.
In the very end,
Vinny Price.
Yeah, in the very end, they jump in a boat to leave, and they're everybody's gone. Or I guess all the bad guys die. I forget what happens. And then they get in a boat, and they're going to go back to shore. And Bud Abbott, like, delivers the very labored line, "Well, we beat the Wolfman, Frankenstein, and Dracula." And then you see a cigarette light in midair. And he's like, "Hello, gentlemen. I'm the Invisible Man." And then they jump out of the boat.
Great team.
The Invisible Man, uncredited
Vincent Price.
Vincent Price, who didn't play the original Invisible Man was Claude Rains.
Yeah, but he appeared in The Invisible Man Returns in 1940.
Though. As the Invisible Man?
I don't know. I know he was in it. Because, let's see.
I just always think Claude Rains because of that line, Rocky Horror. "Claude Rains was the Invisible Man."
Nope. Vincent Price stars as Sir Jeffrey Radcliffe, the Invisible Man.
Okay, so he did end up doing the role.
Yeah.
Well, and he's uncredited in this movie. Apparently, I think, who they wanted in this movie? Originally, there was an early script that had the Mummy shoved in there somehow. And then they were like, "This is fucking too much."
Well, that was the next one.
Yeah. Yeah, Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy.
Yeah. And then the last
one. That's not a good one.
And then the last swan song, I think they did like a television special where they meet the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, that's upsetting.
But
too bad they didn't live longer. Like, Abbott and Costello Meet Chucky.
Abbott and Costello Meet Lady Gaga.
Abbott and Costello Meet Jason Voorhees. "Oh, chick, I'm scared.
Oh, chick, I don't know what I'm doing.
Why are we at this summer camp for little kids, chick? I told you, dummy, we're counselors." "Oh, I'm scared.
Chick, why are we working at this toy store? I don't like the way this dummy's looking at me."
"He's just a dummy. Look at him. He can't talk. He's got more brains than you, nitwit." And then he walks out of the room, and Chucky's like, "I'm going to fucking fillet you, you fat fuck." And he's like, "Oh, chick, the doll is talking, chick."
"Oh, chick, why do we got to stop at this hotel for? I don't like the way the guy's looking at me. I don't want to take a shower. Look at that bird painting, chick. I'm getting a freaky vibe."
"Oh, chick, I was playing with this puzzle box and this guy with pins in his face came out. He made me feel weird."
"Chick, somebody called me and said I want to know what your favorite scary movie is."
"Dummy, I told you don't answer the phone when people call you."
Wow, that's good. That is rich. That is rich. Ladies and gentlemen, not only did you get a Frankenstein Jim bit, but you also got an Abbott and Costello bit.
This is what you get on the Halloween special. All sorts of fun bits.
So the feel and the vibe of that type of slapstick comedy was kind of the end of it in many ways.
As I was watching it, I was thinking there's something so pure about this that a little kid can laugh, an adult can laugh, I can laugh all these years later, because it just... silly little fat guy, mean bully tall guy. He bullies him around. The fat guy pokes at him. And, you know, there's no politics to it. There's nothing dated about it. It's the most simple, like, dynamic.
The insults still hold weight.
Yeah, yeah.
The dynamic between the two still works.
Right.
Where you can envision yourself as one and or both of the characters at one point.
Yeah.
So, they were great. I didn't think the film was all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I liked it for what it was, which was just to suspend my disbelief and let's just watch these crossover characters.
Yeah.
And let's see how they do.
It's 90 short minutes. It goes like a breeze. It's in and out. Boom, 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 boom. Don't stop and think about it too much. It makes no fucking sense. You want to see... You know, originally they wanted... it was going to be a Broadway show.
Really?
Yeah, it was going to be like them with the monsters. It is as if right now Disney was like, you know what we need to do?
Avengers on Broadway.
No, it's more like, you know what we need to do? Let's take Chewbacca and Han Solo and throw them in an Avengers movie. That's sort of what it was, because it was like, these are our best comedians. They're doing great. These are our monsters.
They haven't been touched in years.
Let's throw them together.
Yeah.
Let's throw them together. That's what it would be like.
Is Rick and Morty just a spoof on Abbott and Costello?
Wow. I'm genuinely mind blown right now. You saying that really blows my mind. The voices very much are, right?
Yeah.
The
temperament, the dexterity of both.
Because Lou Costello and Morty are both like, and Bud Abbott and Rick are both like, There you go. People who are new to that fandom always go, you know, it's based on Back to the Future, Doc and Marty. And I'm always like, no, it really isn't, though.
No.
Not at all.
No.
Not even a little bit.
No. It's based on the Who's On First bit.
Yeah. It's based on Abner Costello, Hold That Ghost. Thank you very much. And the Andrew Sisters. I have no idea what's going on in that movie either. Why are there people singing?
It's Buck Privates, bro. I have no idea.
What does Buck mean? What does any of it mean?
The only time I watched that was in film class at CSI.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What class was it?
It was a film class. I don't remember.
What was the fucking subject of it?
It was like a fucking...
Comedy? Screen comedy?
Yeah. It's like a fucking decade ago.
Interesting.
I don't remember.
You know what?
You're the film professor. You should know.
You know
they don't give you like, oh, hey, you gotta put Buck Privates in your viewing.
No, I've yet to show an Abbott and Costello film in any film class.
You're slacking.
I don't know. I've gotta figure it out. Then there's a sequel, Buck Privates Go Home.
Abbott and Costello meet Saving Private Ryan.
We gotta find this kid, Ryan. Oh, chick, why does he get to go home?
What does he look like?
He looks like the guy from Talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Rick.
Oh, Rick.
You want to take a break?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein.
Welcome back. Ooh, I hope you had a nice spooky break. That actually went from spooky to creepy very quickly. Hello. This is Pop Culture Man Children, PCMC. We are available, the big four, that's Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and Apple Music.
Apple Podcasts. Apple Podcasts. It's all the same.
Is it really?
It's all the same.
It's all the same shit.
It's all the same shit.
You'll get us. You could Google us on the Google machine. You'll find us. We're all over. We're there. We are on Instagram.
We are.
Pop Culture Man Children.
We are fabulous. Get used to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like your shirt.
Thank you. It's Mickey Mouse in the Mad Doctor for Halloween, and I've got a little pin of a candy corn. I'm going to start wearing more enamel pins.
I think you should.
It's my new thing.
Oh, speaking of that. I have an anniversary gift for you.
Oh, you do?
I was going to put it in a thing, but I think this is all you.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary.
Ooh. It is an enamel pin of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh, wait.
It's a lunchbox.
It's the lunchbox of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I had, of course. Quite beautiful. This is quite gorgeous. Ooh, it's got weight to it.
Oh, well, it's funny you say that because...
Does she open? It opens up and inside there's High C. Oh my god, it's Ghostbusters High C. It's Ecto Cooler. What does this mean exactly for me? The Turtles Thermos. This is amazing. I love this.
Well, it's a bit of a... It's more of a brooch than a pin.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'll put it on my cummerbund.
I think you should.
Fantastic. Yeah, thank you very much.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. I'm sorry I'm empty-handed.
It's all right. All right. professionalism. So, see, you don't have Twitter, so you couldn't chime in on the great candy corn debate.
I can tell you what I know.
It's been a thing for like the last 2 days.
It's been a thing for like the last 40 years. People shitting all over candy corn, saying it's terrible candy.
I've never had it.
It's delicious.
But I'm glad that I've never tried it.
It's kind of like marzipanish, but less nutty. It's delicious. I don't know why people don't like it. It's fucking delicious.
You sure about that?
It's delicious.
I don't know.
It's good. They're very small. They're bite-sized. I don't get why people don't like it. I don't get it.
Because it's just a ton of sugar. It's not even. It doesn't even look like corn.
I mean, well, it's candy. It looks like corn off a cob. If you like stack them up, it'll look like corn.
Does it?
Yeah.
See, I just have no.
It looks like a kernel. You get what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know about all that. I've never had it, so.
How have you gone this far without ever having it?
I mean, Mike, I've. Up until maybe 6 years ago, I never had a cup of coffee.
So what were you doing?
Living.
Obviously not.
I mean, I don't drink coffee anymore.
What
I didn't
did
like the taste
of it.
What
did you do on Halloween as a kid? Did you trick or treat?
Yes. But nobody gave me fucking candy corn.
Why?
One, I'm not eating that shit. And two, if they gave it to us, it was probably loose.
No, I think they would come in little baggies.
I'm not eating that shit.
Why? How do you know that you don't like
because,
it?
Because, I don't know, it just didn't look right to me. It didn't look appetizing.
So what candy?
You know what looked appetizing?
What, a fucking apple with a razor blade in it?
Besides that, a Hershey's bar, a Kit Kat, a Now and Later, a whatchamacallit.
So you
a
only like chocolate. Chocolate
a
only.
Baby Ruth.
Chocolate only is what you're saying.
I wasn't into the Twizzlers.
Wait,
I wasn't
weren't
doing
you?
Candy corn. I wasn't doing Gobstoppers.
Aren't you allergic to nuts?
Now I am. But
you
when
weren't
I was
as a kid?
No.
What happened?
I don't know. Life just decided to take a shit on my chest.
Wow. So you used to enjoy...
I used to eat peanut butter cups and Reese's Pieces.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I used to love a Snickers bar.
What age did it go away?
30.
So you're saying within the last couple of years, you've gone allergic.
Yes.
How do you... What did you just eat a nut one day and almost die?
I ate peanut butter, yes. And I started to get a bad rash and my throat started to close.
And they were like, sorry, bad news.
Yeah.
Old man.
Yeah, pretty much.
You can't have nuts anymore.
Nope.
I hope you enjoyed 30 years of it. Hope you got it in.
Yeah. Did you enjoy your trick-or-treating and getting a peanut butter cup?
Because it's over now.
You can never enjoy the Christmas tree peanut butter shapes anymore.
Ooh, yeah.
You cannot enjoy Snickers little minis that people used to throw.
Yeah.
No, you get nothing.
Yeah.
You get nothing.
So you just liked chocolate candies.
Yeah, pretty much. I wasn't doing Twizzlers.
What about Pixie Sticks?
Eh, had no desire.
You know, Pixie Sticks, people always talk about stranger danger and don't let your kids out. Check their candy. All of that's based on myths. Nothing ever happened. There was never a razor in an apple blade.
Are you sure?
An apple blade. I'm sorry.
Did you say that again?
There was never a razor in an apple. That never happened.
You sure about that?
I'm sure about that. Right. Look it up. But I tell you what did happen. The one real case of this was two kids, a boy and girl, they ate Pixie Sticks and died. And it ended up being their own father killed them. He put in the Pixie Sticks poison. So, you know what? Let your kids eat whatever they want. Because there's nobody out there trying to kill your kids. My favorite is every year there's like, oh, be careful. Don't let your kids eat gummies because they could be edible marijuana. Who's giving up their drugs like that? Who's going, you know what? I spent a lot of money on these drugs. You know what I should do? Give them out to kids that can't appreciate them. Who would do such a thing? Are people so naive that they're like, ooh, they're going to try to give you drugs?
Yes. It's the media.
Oh, my God. They're gonna get... Like you're just at home going, know what I want to do? Waste my money.
I want to get kids high.
I want to get kids so high.
And then I want them to sit down and watch Wizard of Oz, and I'm going to play Dark Side of the Moon at the same time to see if they sink.
So did you like Halloween specials as a kid?
Yes. Yes. My fave of all time, and I... Just watched it two nights ago. The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown.
I watched it 4 hours ago. I did not like it.
Is it because Lucy is a bitch?
First of all, it's all bullying. It's not just Lucy. They all just bully each other.
Yep.
watching
toxic
it,
friendship.
Yeah, watching it now as an adult, I'm like, God, these kids are shit to each
they
other.
They fucking suck.
They treat even
Lucy to Linus.
Yeah.
And even Sally to Linus. Linus gets no respect.
Wait, which one's Lucy? None. Which one's Lucy?
Lucy is the brunette. That
okay,
the
she's the one with the
Linus.
Football.
Yes.
Who's the blonde one?
Sally, Charlie Brown's sister.
Sally, all right, right. She has a crush on Linus, yes. But she's even given Linus the business because she's like, hey, motherfucker, you told me there was going to be a great pumpkin, and now I'm out here not getting... By the way, in the...
It's about a payoff.
They always say tricks and treats. They don't say trick or treat in it. They say tricks and treats, which is very upsetting to me. And they're like, yeah, exactly. It's about a payoff. She doesn't even trust
them. It's not about true love. It's a fucking payoff.
And I'm thinking to myself, where did he learn about the great pumpkin?
They never say.
Like, where did this idea come from?
They never say. They never say. I wanted a crackpot grandma to sit in.
There's no adults. I mean, it's an adultless world. The kids out there sleeping in a fucking pumpkin patch in the middle of the night catching diphtheria. Nobody's going, hey, where's Linus? He's not in his bedroom.
They're not worried. The sister at the end had to pick him up.
Yeah.
Bring him into the room. Cover him.
But he was already here. Already had pneumonia at that point.
Already. He's already dead.
He's already 1 foot in the grave at that point.
He's already dead.
As I was watching it, I was surprised how little was happening. As I was watching it, I was like, this is more of a jazz music program.
Yes.
With a little bit of dialogue and story. It's all just that music.
And then they break away to Snoopy.
Oh my God. Snoopy with his World War I ace flyer bullshit. Even the new...
He was the crack pilot.
Oh God, I hate it. Doesn't that bore you senseless?
Enemy lines?
Why is that still... Why? It's so boring.
Because it's part of his Halloween costume and he's using his imagination to
but
show children.
But that's always his fetish.
He's an inquisitive little dog.
Even in the new movie, there's a bunch of fucking him doing that shit. And I mean, I'm like, who in 2017 gives a shit about a fucking World War I obsessed dog?
Somebody out there.
So why do you like it so much?
I don't know. It's cute.
Nostalgia?
Yeah.
Do you think if you watched it for the first time now, you'd be...
I probably would hate it.
You'd be like, what the hell is happening?
What the fuck is this? How come Charlie Brown just does not clothesline any of these motherfuckers?
Charlie Brown's voice is very weird.
Well, they were kids.
Was he a genuine, like, 8-year-old?
Oh, no, they were all... Yeah.
But they sound like children that have led hard lives.
Yeah, they did. Well, when you're living in a post-apocalyptic, parentless world,
right.
Got to survive on your own.
Yeah.
And they have full, beautifully, well-kept houses.
Yeah, yeah. How come all the boys are ghosts and all the girls are witches? Why is there two costumes, other than Snoopy, why are there only two costumes in the world of Peanuts?
Because, again, what survived after the Great War...
Yeah.
Was the witch's costume and the ghost costume in the post-apocalyptic
parents. I really like this
parents.
Fan theory. I really like this fan theory. Who's the one who's dirty?
Pigpen.
Do you notice that even when he talks, the animation of the... Like, even talking makes his dirt.
Yeah.
Again, because there's no fucking parents.
That's right. Nobody tells him, hey, listen, you need to bathe.
Why is Charlie Brown the fucking shit of the world? Like, why were the parents in his neighborhood giving him rocks?
Because nobody likes him.
Like, hey, you know who we really hate?
Because he's a bald 8-year-old.
The kid down the street.
You ever just look at somebody and say, boy, I hate them?
But as an adult, I would never take rocks and say, I'm going to give rocks to this kid. The police would come to your door.
I've gotten pennies.
Pennies was... We used to get pennies a lot back in our day.
And then we used to have penny fights.
That sounds dangerous.
We just used to literally run around the streets and chuck pennies at each other.
I remember that there was always an old lady in my neighborhood who would just leave out a... ball full of pennies. She didn't care if you took it all. She just wanted it off her hands. You know what I mean? It was one of those don't ring my bell, we're doing this on the honor system type things. Like just a ball on the stoop.
And I wonder where they would get all these pennies from.
Oh God. That was back in the day, you know, people used pennies. Now if I drop a penny on the ground, I don't even bother to pick it up. It's not worth the bending
over. I pick up everything that I see on the floor. Loose change, I'm picking up, baby.
Nickel and over. Nickel and above.
Nope. I'm picking up a penny.
Even on a bad day, not a nickel.
I'm always...
Dime.
Always picking them up.
Really?
Always. I was at the gym today, and I found the penny.
And did you pick it up and have luck all day?
No, because my day was pure shit. But I found the penny at the gym, and I took it.
This is a dirty, dirty penny.
It's a dirty penny.
What year is this? I can't even say. This is a dirty fucking penny.
Let me see, because my eyes are a little bit better than yours.
Bum, 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 bum.
1995.
Not that long ago.
It's a fairly old penny.
Yeah.
But yeah, penny fights. That's what we did. But yeah, did you ever notice how aggressive certain scenes in that movie are?
They're just shitty to each other. Like, they're supposed to be friends, but like, everyone is like, there's no great pumpkin, you fucking idiot. Linus, we hate you with your stupid blanket. Go ahead and leave. Go ahead and miss Halloween, you dummy. Like, everyone's so mean.
Now, I really want a great pumpkin to come and just fucking kill them all.
But what does the great pumpkin look like? I'm just wondering, like, who told this kid about the great pumpkin? I haven't seen the Christmas one in a long time. Was the Christmas one equally mean-spirited?
Oh, yeah. Even though Charlie Brown's a fuck-up, he did get us a good tree.
It's the thing is, he's not a fuck-up. It's just like he's cursed to be shit on by everyone. He's just an unlucky sap. But he's a boy. He's a little boy.
He's a little boy.
That everyone treats like hot garbage.
He's just a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's a piece of shit, but they treat him like a piece of shit.
You know what I watched today? Garfield's Halloween Adventure.
I don't remember that one.
That is pre the animated series, and it's got a lot of weird songs in it. But it's basically very simple. Garfield and Odie dress up like pirates, and they go out trick-or-treating, and then they find a boat, and they get on a boat, and the boat takes them to a little island, and then they get on the island, and they sneak into somebody's house, and then there's a scary old man. Like, he's genuinely scary. He looks like something out of, like, the heavy metal cartoons, and he tells them a scary story about ghosts, and then the old man runs away, and then there's ghosts. Like, it's genuinely scary. I watched it today. I was like, this is creepy. Like, there's a scene where Garfield and Odie are hiding in a cupboard, and there are ghosts outside in the room. And I had a genuine laugh in that scene where I genuinely laughed. Garfield's like, oh my God, we gotta hide. And Odie just puts his face in a plant with his whole body out. And I was like, that's genuinely funny. Because he was like, not there, dummy. So then they hide in the cupboard, and then the door opens by mistake, and the ghosts all see them, and then he's like, excuse me, and he closes the door, and they're like, I think we're good. And then the ghost's face comes through the door, and you hear, dah! And I remember shitting myself as a little kid.
Did Lorenzo Music voice the Garfield character?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. This was, what year was it? This was 85, I think. Yeah, 85. Speaking of special programming. Yesterday, I went to Starbucks and I had the Witch's Brew Frappuccino.
Yeah, I seen that on our Instagram page.
Yeah.
I'm amazed you don't have diabetes.
I might. It tastes like Fruity Pebbles.
I will skip it.
It's delicious.
I don't want it.
It was good. It had bits of brain in it, which was actually chai seeds.
Okay.
Brain, though. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I was actually walking with my purple drink in the parking lot, and this woman driving by stops and rolls down a window and goes, how is that? And I'm like, tastes like Fruity Pebbles. It's good. And she's like, thanks.
Wow.
So I think she needed one person to put it over.
So you're an influencer.
I think so.
Yeah. That happens.
When I ordered it, the kid behind the counter was like, really? We got one.
Your food choices lately have been a little upsetting.
Oh, here comes the high road. Why? What have I been?
The beans, the posture beans.
Beans and Leaves. Beans and Leaves is a place in Staten Island. They're a coffee shop, but they're well known for their gourmet waffles.
A.K.A. let's just put a ton of shit on a waffle.
Yeah, they've got Captain Crunch waffles.
This is disgusting.
I'm a big fan of the Nutella and strawberry waffle.
Yeah, I'm good.
And I love a Belgian waffle, but unlike typical Belgian waffles, it's softer. It's got more of a pancakiness. It's delicious.
I'm good.
It's delicious.
And then you're drinking this sugary fucking Witch's Brew.
It's tis the season.
With brains.
Tis the season.
Get a pumpkin spice latte, you basic bitch.
I haven't had a pumpkin spice latte all season. But if I did, you'd be mocking me with that.
Of course. But I'd rather see you drink a PSL than a fucking Witch's Brew.
You saying PSL is the most basic shit I've ever heard.
Listen, sometimes I could be a real basic bitch too.
It's not like I'm out there.
I had my first hot cocoa of the season.
Good for you.
It was a little bit chilly outside.
Marshmallows?
No.
No, all right. That's all right. It's not like every morning I'm going out and getting witch's brew. I'd be, by noon, I'd be dead. I was like, I got to try one.
Were you bloated after that?
I didn't eat anything after that for like 4 hours. I do think it messed up my tummy. My tummy's been hurting all day. But I think that was the whipped cream, because whipped cream doesn't work well with me.
Was there a sugar crash too?
Of course. Although, I got to tell you, the purpleness of it makes you think it's going to be crazy. It's sweet, but it's not as insane as you think it's going to be. It's like any other frap. It's actually the orange frap that they have, but...
With purple food coloring.
With purple in it.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, I've had enough of that.
Well, you don't like a seasonal treat?
No. No.
Have you had a pumpkin spice latte?
No, I've never had one.
I had a pumpkin waffle at Beans and Leaves.
Basic bitch.
It was delicious.
Did you wear your Uggs yet?
I don't have Uggs.
And your full chunky sweaters?
I don't have those.
And you didn't go pumpkin picking?
I did take a golf ball and put it in the dryer with my North Face to pluff it up. So I'm going to take that out tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a few cigarette holes in it, but whatever, you know.
It's old school.
Yeah, you know.
Typical old school Staten Island look.
Yeah, put on the Tims. It's great. Have a good time.
Did you go apple picking?
No apple picking. No hay rides. Just shame. Basically ingesting sugar.
It's just eating sugar as I go along.
Yeah, that's basically it.
All right. All right. All right. Enjoy your red dye number 5 and your artificial flavors and your natural flavors. And
yeah, it's all natural flavors.
All natural.
It's all natural.
Oh, the gimmick is, oh, jeez, it tastes like Captain Crunch.
It tastes like Fruity Pebbles. Get it right.
Yeah.
Do you like Fruity Pebbles?
No.
What, do you like Cocoa Pebbles?
No. I don't even eat cereal anymore, but
let me guess what you eat for breakfast. Half a cup of dry grape nuts.
I don't know. I don't do cereal at all, actually.
No?
I used to do Kashi Just Friends.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
I gave all that up.
You go into the supermarket and you go, excuse me, what's the most liberal douchebag cereal you have? I'd like that. Thanks.
Pretty much. But now I just do an assortment of just acai bowls or just fruit.
Of course. Of course. Of course you do.
Yeah, and my breakfast really isn't at breakfast.
Well, me neither. I don't eat until noon myself.
Shit.
Breakfast every morning is a cup of seltzer and black decaf.
Explains a lot, Mike.
Breakfast of champions.
It explains a lot, Mike.
Why? What does it explain? Decaf isn't harmful to you.
You're just an old, angry man. You like Hemingway.
I like what I like. Yeah, I can't wait till I put the fucking bullet in my mouth.
And that's all that I like.
So I think this has been a Halloween special for the ages.
I agree.
It's been one glorious year of podcasting goodness.
Yes.
There's lots of other stuff coming up this year. We're going to have all sorts of interviews, all sorts of ideas. We've got a lot of stuff on the...
horizon.
Yeah. I was going to say on the cooker.
On the cooker?
On the whatever.
On the docket?
Yeah, a lot of stuff coming down the docket.
Okay.
Please listen to us and subscribe to us and share us on the Big Four with all your buddies and friends. That would be Apple Podcasts,
mm-hmm.
Google Play,
mm-hmm.
Stitcher,
mm-hmm.
and Spotify.
Uh-huh.
You could also follow us on Instagram. And happy Halloween, everybody.
Let us go bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.